Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. We are recording. So today is going to reply to a stereotype about Islam. In particular, Sharia. Sharia, you know Sharia? Sharia is the Islamic law, right? Sharia is the Islamic law. And what do they say about Sharia? Tell me. What do you hear about Sharia from the media? They share Sharia what? Huh?
It's bad. It goes against women. It oppresses people.
We replied on all these things, but there is something we need to reply still about Sharia that we need to reply on. What do they say about Sharia? Do they say it's inhumane? Right?
What is Sharia?
Islamic law. Just like Islamic law, just like the American law. Sharia is the Islamic law. Now, let me just, before I get into there, let me finish a business that we didn't finish last time. There is something called fear incorporated. What is the fear incorporated? It's to make business out of fear. How? Let me give you an example. Let's say this is the house of Aisha. This is Aisha's house. This is your house. And this is a guy out there, okay, who's like, has nothing to do, has no job, or good education.
Does this have to be non-Muslim?
Yes. Because you need to understand this concept, because this concept is very deep.
What's this concept called?
Fear incorporated. Fear incorporated. Fear incorporated is a business. This is your house, and this is a guy has no job or good education. And he wants money and power. So this guy, yeah, this guy wants money and power. So how this guy played, look how the game, dirty game is being played. So this guy comes to you and says, okay, there is a monster in your backyard. So this is backyard. Backyard. This is your backyard, and your backyard has nothing. So this is your backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Has no monsters. You need to help me spell monster.
T-A-H-A-N-I.
What?
Monster is what?
Monster.
So he comes and says, this is you. This is you. Okay, and then this guy tells you there is a monster in your backyard.
You know there's this thing on the iPhone 5 where you can tell the keyboard what to type and it types it for you?
Oh my God, really? It's called Siri.
No, like I did that for my...
So, what happens when he tells you There is a monster in your backyard? You say you become afraid. You become scared. Scared. And ask him, okay, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? What can I do about it? Okay, what can I do about it? Then he tells you, guess what he tells you? He says, hire me as a security guy. Okay, he replies, hire me as a security
guard.
Security guard. So you say, please, please do. You're hired. So you say, you are hired. You say you are hired. Now, where is the trick in this? The trick is that there is no monster in your truth, that no monster in your backyard. Truth is no monster exist in your backyard. So the guy is a liar. Now, why did he lie? Why did he lie?
Because he wants money.
He wants a job. Now, should we blame him or blame you because you're stupid? You are stupid.
No.
Why? He tells you there's a monster in your backyard, and you believe him?
Well, I mean, what if he had something like believable? Like, what if he says there are, I don't know, like termites or pesticides in your backyard or something?
No, let's say
there's no such thing
okay.
as a monster.
Okay.
Yeah, but what if
I've set the drink?
Let's say it has like a rat.
Yeah.
So you don't take this rat and say it's a monster, right? Is rat a monster? No. Let's say it has a rat that keeps bugging you every once in a while. Okay? He lies and he says, this is not a rat. This is a monster. He plays with you. You got it? You got it? You understand?
Yeah.
You understand how the game is played?
Yeah.
Then he got himself a job and power. Why? Because he's a security guy. Security people have the most power, right? You agree or disagree? They have the most power. Why? Because they are the police. They are the people of authority. They are better than you, higher than you. They have authority over you because they get to do things and they get to have things that you can't do as a normal citizen. So they got a job and they got power. Why? Because you're stupid. Yeah. So the rule is that no monster exists in your backyard or there is a rat in your backyard. Why this is very important, girls? Why is this is very important? Because this is what is happening in the United States. They tell the American people, Muslims are terrorists. And then they point rats, okay? They say, Muslims are monsters. They killed 5,000 people in the World Trade Center. These are not humans, these are monsters. And they are monsters because Quran makes them, preaches to them to be monsters, okay? So what happens, It's not a monster. It's a rat. The rat is just a guy pops up every once in a while and does something stupid. Like this guy, the latest one was the underwear bomber. Did you hear about the underwear bomber?
Underwear bomber?
Underwear.
He put the the bomb in his underwear so that they couldn't find it when they tied him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
did you hear it? Okay. Is that a monster or a rat? That's a rat.
What if it went off?
What?
Oh,
that is a rat. That is, okay, the gangs in Auckland.
Can I use
it? Yes. The gangs in Auckland. Auckland has gangs that are much worse threat than that. We need police officers, peace officers to be in the streets to guard us from gang. We don't want to put the money into a fake security position. You got it? So that's what they do. They say, oh, look at the Muslims. Huh? Okay, Muslims, how many Muslims do that? They are 0.0001% of Muslims that they do, like we did the numbers last class. And not only how many Muslims, they are 0.001 of Muslims, but also they are not American Muslims, right? Name one situation where it's an American Muslim. Always a foreign Muslim coming from some foreign land. Okay, student, tourist visa or terrorist visa, something like that. Go ahead.
December or November last summer, there was like this one Bangladeshi, like in New York, he came into like a customs office or like CIA or whatever, and he started like, you know, saying that Al-Qaeda was the best and everything, and then he said that there was like a bomb, he planted a bomb there, and yeah.
It was all rats. These are rats. No more than rats. Do you hire a security guy to protect you from rats? Huh? You don't exaggerate the rat and say it's a monster.
Wait.
You're stupid if you fall for this trick. Huh?
So you're saying that Al-Qaeda...
is a rat.
But wouldn't it be a monster?
No. Okay. It's a rat. No more than a rat. I'm talking about size-wise. Size-wise, it's a rat.
But
the threat of Al-Qaeda is no more than the threat of a rat in the backyard.
Okay.
You don't make it a monster. You don't exaggerate. Yes, this rat is a monster. It's a little tiny monster, right? But this little tiny monster has the size of a rat.
But
it's a monster rat. How about that?
Okay, yeah.
But it's a rat. It's no more than one rat or two rats or maybe five rats. You don't need a security guard for five rats. Now, here is the game. When this guy fools you and says there is a big monster, and this monster is not big, it's little monster, the size of the rat, he wants you to be scared to give him a job. Look what happened. This guy got himself a job, huh? And got himself power. How come? Because you're stupid. Because you are stupid. Because he made the rat look like a big monster. You have a little rat or small, very tiny, small monster, and he made it huge monster to get money and power. So this is implemented in so many places in the national security positions, and TSA positions, and CIA positions, and FBI positions. They make a lot of jobs to fight Islamic terrorism, to fight a rat, just a little tiny rat. It doesn't take this army. You know, do you send an army to fight a person? Go ahead.
Wait, but I'm confused, okay? If Al-Qaeda and Muslims, they're like, if you want them to not be the same thing, if you want people to think that they're not the same thing, then why, like, wouldn't you say that they are bad, like they are really bad then if you...
Of course.
Exactly.
We said we screamed our lungs out saying they don't represent Islam.
But
yeah, do you remember the numbers?
But my question is that if you're going to say that they don't represent Islam, then why would you, not like you, but I'm just saying people, why would people say... they're little. If the Muslim community said that they were little thing, then people would think,
We screamed our lungs out, saying those are no more than, we did the math last time,
yeah,
you and me, no more than 0.001%.
Yeah, but can I answer her question?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I understand what she's asking. It's like they're making a really big deal of something. We know it's bad. We know it's really bad. But instead, it was like they're making a big deal. Okay, like if a rat enters your house, you know it's bad. Okay, you know that it didn't do something bad to you, but you don't hire a whole exterminating company to get rid of that one rat.
Oh, okay.
You maybe just get a few rat traps, but that doesn't mean you hire everyone in the world to get rid of the rat. Instead, you can have them go to something more important. But
right.
That doesn't mean that the rat isn't bad and that we should get rid of the rat.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
The rat doesn't take that much. Okay. So the latest rat was the underwear bomber. And he was so stupid, he was sitting in the airplane, and he started igniting the bomb by opening his pants, and he started doing that. So the lady sitting right next to him, she screamed. Yeah, stupid. He didn't even bother going to the bathroom. So she screamed, they jumped onto him, they cuffed him, and they arrested him. Okay, that is so stupid. I mean, I can't believe this. This is to be considered a threat that requires 10,000 security positions. You know, what are you talking about here? Okay, so this fear incorporation is made, okay, in the past, they used Russia. They used the Soviet Union as the foreign devil. Okay, they scare you from the Soviet Union and earn positions. Now, that wasn't a fear incorporation. That was real threat. Soviet Union was a real, real, real threat. And you needed a lot of people to conquer the Soviet Union. That was a situation where it's not fear incorporated game. It is a real threat. Now, Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. So they don't want to leave their positions. They want something so that instead of being laid off, they have still work. So they made Islam as the foreign minister. And they scared people from Islam to get jobs. You got it?
Yeah.
That is called the business of fear incorporation. All right. Now, we're going to move to the point, the stereotype that Sharia is too harsh. Sharia is too harsh and inhumane. Now, why do they say Sharia is too harsh and inhumane? What made them say that? Where's my camera? What made them say Sharia is harsh and inhumane? Can you tell me why? Think. Sharia is the Islamic law.
Because they want us to not be able to go against it.
They say it's inhumane and too harsh because it cuts the hands of the thief and stones the adulterer, the married adulterer, and it kills the murderer. They say Sharia is too harsh because of these things. As part of your homework, I'm going to email you 3 articles written about Fear Incorporated. And those articles, I'm not going to email you, I'm just going to email you the links. And they are at different places, so you just go read it and then write about Fear Incorporated. You will understand more about that. So now, Sharia is too harsh. Then you say, why? Say why? They say one cuts the hand of the thief. Thieves, the thief. That is the first reason. And then they say, second, stone married adulterer to death. Stone to death.
Did you watch the stoning of Soraya M?
Huh?
The stoning of Soraya M, the movie?
No.
It was like about a true story. It was like a husband, he framed, he didn't, he had a wife and he fell in love with another woman. So like he wanted to divorce her, but she wasn't allowing it because they had kids. So he framed her that.
He could have married the other lady right away.
Yeah, but I don't know why he didn't do that, because like apparently the woman was gonna go. This happened in like 1990 or something,
uh-huh.
And then he framed the woman, and he said that she did adultery, and then like
basically he killed her.
Yeah, he killed her.
Yeah, that's a murder.
She did adultery. And then
yeah, and you get a lot of people abusing the system.
Yeah.
To get away with their crimes. It happens in every Sharia and non-Sharia system. Stone to death those who cheat on their wives. Those married people. Those married men or women that cheat their spouses. Did I spell thief right? Okay. So, that's the third thing, stone to death. And then the fourth thing, cuts the neck of the murderer. The neck of the murderer.
Number three.
So these are their arguments. Okay, let's see how do you answer and say Sharia is too harsh. There's a very funny answer that I always use when somebody tells me that. I tell them, why are you scared? You know what it means? When he tells me Sharia is too harsh, I say, why are you so scared of Sharia being too harsh?
uh-huh.
Do you see what am I implying?
No, not really.
Why? Yeah. Why are you so worried about it? It's not for you, man. It's not for you. It's for somebody else, criminals. Are you worried about Sharia because you have ideas, bad ideas? You shouldn't be concerned about Sharia. Why? Because it doesn't apply to you if you are honest. But if you are one of those thieves, of course, I don't want my hand to get cut. Oh, okay. Now we're talking about, you know, the first answer you say.
Wait, Sharia's are thieves?
Why are you so scared? Do you have something in mind? Do you plan? To commit a crime?
No.
Commit two M's, right? Right? Yeah. I'm sorry. Two M's and two T's? You got it? So the first question is, why are you so scared? Do you plan to commit a crime? It is only for criminals, not you. And you shouldn't worry. Yes? I'm sorry?
Just because it isn't you doesn't mean that you shouldn't be worried about, like, their well-being and their health.
It is, okay.
Maybe they're just worried that they want to give people another chance.
Then we do go to number two. So if they are not of this kind, then we go into number two. So that's number one answer. And then number two answer. Now, number one answer to be given to the corrupt people in Egypt, for example, or in the Middle East. They are corrupt. They don't want to implement Sharia, because if Sharia is implemented, their hands are the ones to be caught. So that answer fits more the people who the corrupt leaders who opposes Sharia, they oppose Sharia because, and they say, do you want to cut our hands? You can't. Who said that's your hands? I'm saying hands of the thieves. It's like he's admitting to be a thief. So that's corrupt people. This answer fits those people. So you don't need to bring on the second argument. The second argument is about people who are not criminal and they have concerns.
Like there's this one story, you know, at people or whatever. There was like this one woman in I think it was in Africa, but basically, like what happened was, like she met this one guy. He wasn't a Muslim, so you know they were like going, like they were going out, and he was already married with a child. So what happened was like there were these like extremists. Basically, like they found out and they caught her. And they whipped her, so
yes, it's whipped because she's not married. He gets killed.
He wasn't killed.
Stoned?
I don't know. It's
he has to be stoned because he's married, and she gets only whipped because she's not married.
Okay.
Because only, remember that, death sentence is only for people who cheat on their wives or husbands. So, but if you're not married, okay, you just get whipped. You don't get stoned to death.
Wait. If you're not married, what?
If you're not married, you don't get the punishment for stoning to death.
What do you get?
This
you get
is
whipped.
Good answer for corrupt people.
If you're not married, that's so sad. What if you can't find a husband?
Only for corrupt people.
That doesn't mean you go for a husband that has kids.
What if they both?
And I don't get
this. What if they like both hate each other and they're both cheating on each other?
Wait,
and
no.
They're like they don't want to be married.
Then they get divorced.
They still, huh?
But
they have
kids. Is it really your job to make sure that people don't commit adultery and like?
Perfect. Mashallah, you're jumping ahead of me. You're jumping ahead of me. Mashallah, that's very good. Right. So now the second reply is, I'm coming to this. The second reply is, Sharia is not intended to spy, to catch the people who commit crimes that are in their own private space. Sharia. Is not to spy on people who do adultery in their homes.
What? So it's okay if it's secret?
What? It's between you and Allah. If you keep it secret, it's between you and Allah. Punishment from Allah. It is between you and Allah. Because how do you know? And there's a very famous story about that. So I'm going to say story of Umar. And the drunk people. I'm going to tell you the story right now. As long as you kept it a secret, huh?
Oh, can I say something?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I was reading this one book of this one. It was like
Please attend to this question. It's very good.
So this one woman, she wrote a book about her, about like Islam and stuff, to explain to all the Americans that think they're terrorists, were terrorists and stuff. So in the book, there she had a chapter about Sharia, and she said that, like in the Quran, it does say that you should cut the hands of thieves, but when you see the exact wording, it you can take it in two different ways. Like when, for example, if I'm talking right now and if you cut my sentence and you finish it off for me, then that's one way of cutting. You don't physically like cut me and then finish my sentence.
That's
you,
indirect meaning.
Yeah, indirect meaning.
No, Allah says in a perfectly understandable Arabic language, cut their hands. Perfectly understandable Arabic language. Nobody can argue about it.
Okay. But like in there she said something.
You can't
like,
twist it. It's perfectly, trust me, it's a perfectly
okay.
understandable Arabic language that means nothing but cut the hands. But I'm going to tell you two stories about Umar. One with the drunk people. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to go at night around to make sure everybody's okay. He was very fair. He would go in the streets. He would walk in the streets at night to make sure everything is what?
Fair.
Okay. Now, while he was walking, he heard some noise in a house. And the house has fence, high fence around, or wall, surrounded by a wall. So he, Umar, got suspicious. So he jumped above the wall, and he entered the house. He found people drinking alcohol. So he said, "You enemies of Allah, drinking alcohol here? Don't you know that it's haram?" And the punishment of drinking alcohol is 80 lashes. Getting drunk, okay? If you drink alcohol, you get 80 lashes. That's another thing that they think it's too harsh. But anyway, just a minute. I'll tell you why it's not too harsh. So the guy, one of the drunk people, he told him, "We made him one mistake. We made one violation of the law. You made three. Three violations." He said, "What are these three violations you're talking about?" He said, "The first violation that you did is that you spied on us, and you cannot spy when you apply the Sharia laws. It has to be in public. It has to be something in public. People are doing bad things in public, showing off that they are doing bad things. So if I go drink in public, you catch me, and Sharia will catch me, and I get punished. But if I am doing it in my home, it's between me and Allah. It's none of your business." So he said, "It's none of your business because I'm doing it in my own private home, and it's between me and Allah, and you don't have no business in that." He said, "That's number one." He said, "Number two, you're spying on me. Number three, Allah said to enter the houses from the doors, and you jumped above the wall. You jumped over the wall." Okay? And number four, Allah said you have to ask permission before you get into a house, and you did not ask permission. So Umar said, "You are right, I'm wrong," and he left. You see? Why? That gives you a very good message, that Sharia is not intended to catch people who drink or commit adultery in privacy. If you are not caught, it's between you and Allah. And if you repent, Allah forgives you. But if you are caught, then this is where you get punished. Now, there is a guy at the time of Prophet Muhammad. Actually, two of them. One time it was done by a man. The other time was done by a woman. The woman comes to the Prophet and she says, "I have done something wrong. And because of that, I am pregnant." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so she said, "Punish me, because I want the punishment of this life. I don't want the punishment of the hereafter." The Prophet was very upset because she exposed her sin. Now the law will catch her. So the Prophet said, "The one who commits sins in privacy, it's between him and Allah. Sharia has nothing to do with him. But the one who makes it public is the one that gets caught. Because Sharia is to protect the public space. Sharia is to protect the public space. Not the private places. No, so as long as it's announced, there's another thing about Sharia. They say it's too harsh. That they say the one who denounces Islam and talks bad about it gets killed, gets a death penalty. Now, why is that? Because very simple. If you denounce Islam on your own and you don't announce that you denounced Islam because Islam is too bad or bad religion, then nobody is going to do anything to you. You are caught only when you go around say, I denounced Islam because Islam is a bad, lousy religion. Got it?
Wait, Dad.
Huh?
So if you're forcing people not to drink alcohol and stuff like that in public, then basically you're forcing them into Islam, right?
No. There are certain laws, like there are certain laws in the United States called the laws of the land. Okay? The laws of the land override any laws. If you have whatever laws in your religion, they don't care. You have to obey the laws of the land.
What are they?
For example, people who drink here are not considered criminals.
Yeah.
You say, but in my religion, people who drink are criminals. They say, keep your religion to yourself. The law of the land says it's okay. You see? So the law of the land always overrides whatever the laws of the people. So in Islam,
the law of the land has to be obedient to the people that live there and do whatever.
Well, the laws of the land of Islam, and remember that the borders are always open. You can go anywhere you want. Nobody's going to stop you. The laws of the land in Islam say is that if you denounce Islam and go around telling everybody that I denounced Islam because it's a lousy religion, then you get the death sentence. But if you denounce Islam without announcing to anybody, that's it. It's between you and Allah. Nobody's going to punish you. Why is that? Because the bad guys, munafiqeen, hypocrites in Medina, they used to do this. Allah said about them in the Quran that they used to do this. They used to believe in Islam in the morning. Believe in Islam in what? In the morning. And they go into mass groups, like 100 of them. They go to the Prophet and say, we are Muslims, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah in the morning. And then in the evening, they go around and say, Islam is an awful religion. We denounce it, Islam. We quit. See the game? So Islam, Allah made that rule to catch those people that go around and say, we denounce Islam because Islam is no good, because Islam is lousy. Say, you denounce Islam, it's your business. But don't go around announcing that Islam is a bad religion and you quitted Islam because of that. So that's one thing. If you commit a crime in your own private space, Sharia doesn't apply to you. It's between you and Allah. So at the time of the Prophet, the lady went. The Prophet was really upset. You know, with the other case also, the Prophet said, Allah have covered you. Don't expose yourself. Allah covered your sin. Okay? Don't expose yourself.
But technically, isn't she being exposed because she's pregnant?
Just a second, huh?
Wouldn't she be exposed because she's pregnant?
Yeah, well,
yes.
I mean, other people are going to find out when she's pregnant.
Yes, but that's...
Do you guys know Thomas Jefferson?
No, that's... That's if she does not do, like, get away with it by getting married, for example. Getting married to anybody. She can hide it. There are ways to hide that. There
you
are ways.
You can't hide a ginormous stomach.
No, you can, not that. You can go to a different land, or you can marry right now to any guy. any guy you can put your hands on, marry him. So it hides. But anyway, it is, or you can stay in your home.
Yeah,
don't tell anybody.
That's
until you get the baby.
Well,
no, you can stay in your home and it becomes a secret in the family.
A secret baby?
But
not a secret baby. A secret in the family that is not to be spread around.
Yeah,
but like people see it.
Yeah, like what happens when like the baby grows up or whatever?
The family has to arrange something to hide it. But she cannot show disobedience in public. She cannot show the disobedience of Allah in public.
But if they don't know how she got the baby, so that's it.
That's another thing that you can hide.
They can just say that she
come up with a way. I would suggest
just say that she's a cousin from some family. She came. They gave her.
I would suggest that she doesn't meet guests. She doesn't meet guests. She stays home in her room until she delivers the baby, and then she goes out in public. Got it. There has to be a way, but because the public cannot show a crime in public. Do whatever, keep it in privacy, you're fine. Okay? Keep it in privacy, you're fine. You show it to the public, you got doomed. So the Prophet said, Allah cover you and you expose yourself. Then he says, if any one of you commits a crime, it is in, and it is not caught.
Wait,
it
is not to wear the hijab?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Again, the public space has to be protected. So the public space is protected by the laws of the land.
So is wearing the hijab a law of the land?
Yes. It's a law of the land that you wear a decent hijab. So Islam does not allow stretch many shapes and to be in the streets. You can do that in your own private space. You can do it in your home with other people. As long as it's private, you're fine. The whole idea is that the public space has to be protected. And let me tell you about the problem that I have. I go to beaches, right? Beaches are public beaches, right? It's a public space, right? You know where I want to go. All these bikinis are pollution, image pollution, right? Isn't that an image pollution? Don't we control sound pollution? Don't we control? It's, to me, it's a pollution. Why do I have to put up with it? Why? I mean, she can do whatever she wants in her private beaches, but she cannot come in a public beach and wear all these things and uses chemistry to spoil the beautiful scene. It's image. To me, it's image pollution.
Some people.
And the laws of the land prevail, right?
But it's just
some people.
So the laws of the land will prevail.
But like it's hurting society because not everyone can enjoy the what they can. Like for example, like okay, so there's like a big swimming pool thing next to our house, and it's like a big club where like the whole neighborhood can go, and like you can buy a membership to go, but like we don't want to go because it's really disturbing to see everyone,
yeah,
and like. It's so like I mean since
Muslim countries, like,
since they can't keep the modesty to cover themselves, we can't enjoy ourselves and swim in a swimming pool that we're sharing a fence with.
Right.
So that's
it's my right to prevent image pollution. It's my right. And it's their right to generate an image pollution. Right? United States says they can generate an image pollution and they stand with them and against me. I have the right too. They have rights, I have rights.
Yeah, but it's America's country. This isn't a Muslim country.
I'm talking from an American perspective. Did I say haram? I said image pollution. That's it. Did I say Islamic? Did I mention the word Islam? I'm saying image pollution.
But people in other religions think it's okay.
Huh? How about it's not a Muslim thing. It is a human modesty. Okay, and also there are many problems with this. Husbands mistreat their wives. Husbands mistreat their wives when they see these images. You know, he looks at this image and says, wow. And he looks at his wife and says, disgusting. It happens. They mistreat their wife. They say, I settled for you. I should have married one of those blah blah.
They're not Muslim.
No, it's
just even Muslim husbands are more.
No, it's just
are worse.
They're not a good husband.
Yes, they say, wow, we love these colors. Look at our wives. They do say that. It's very derogatory. Because of what? Because image pollution. He's looking there and comparing.
Sorry, guys.
He's comparing the mother who's giving him a children, who has been living with him for 20 years or 30 years, who has been, you know, a partner of his life with another young girl who's thin, out just 20, 30 years old. It's not fair. It's not fair. His wife is mad. She wants to stop him. You ask the wives, okay, especially, you know, 70% of Americans are ladies are not good looking, sort of. You know, only that's what I heard from someone. From someone. I have no idea if this is true or not. You say it's not true, you might be right. But the ones who are not pretty, they don't want their husbands to be looking around. Because now, you know what I'm saying? So there are many issues. I have many issues about the image pollution. I'm not saying Islam, I'm saying image pollution. Okay? So now the law stands on the side of the ones who doesn't do the image pollution and says, no, you have no right to object.
Wait, so what do you want the law to be?
In Egypt, when or actually here, when my wife and Sarah, ask Sarah how does she do swimming.
Oh, yeah.
You swim? That's awful.
I'm a water polo player, and it's weird because, you know, you have all these girls
yeah, that's what happens in the volleyball too. It's
yeah,
really,
and like, she's wearing full hijab. She is. They respect her. Okay, in the graduation of the middle school in Los Gatos, she was in Fisher School in Los Gatos. When she graduated,
you went to Fisher.
Wait, you're graduated from high school?
No. I'm sorry, from middle school. When she graduated, she was the only girl wearing hijab. And a lot of people loved that she was the only one out of the 200, 300.
Yeah, makes her unique.
She was unique. She was standing up saying, I am a righteous girl. If you are interested into indecent business, don't come to me. If you are interested into dating, go away from me. If you are interested into serious business, yes, no problem. If you're interested in chemistry, get out of here. If you're interested in business, it's okay. You got it? So now when she swims with that full clothes, swim clothing. Okay? And this, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So they can swim. Same thing. Same thing. It's just the problem of the image pollution. Image pollution. I got one lady. When I was explaining that in one of the classes, she says, how about men? Why men, they can wear, of course, men has to wear, the Islam says men has to wear from here to here, from the belly button to the leg, to the knee. If they show any part other than that, then they are violating the law. They are image pollution themselves. So she said, why do we have to cover everything and they only have to cover from the belly button to the knee? And the answer was very simple. I said, if I take off my shirt and run in the street jogging, okay, it's not going to be a big deal. But if you take off your shirt and run in the street jogging, it's going to be a big deal.
But that's because people made it a big deal. It doesn't have
to. No, it's natural. It's natural. It's natural. They call it natural affection or natural affliction. I don't know the word for that. It's nature. You can't help it. You know what? You know what about the equality between men and women? Okay, in the Olympics, do we have teams for men separate than teams for women?
Yes.
Do we allow in Olympics men and women together to compete together? Why? Yes. Just a second. Why aren't you allowing in Olympics men to compete with women? Perfect. Can I say this inequality? It is inequality. But can I say, is it justice?
No.
It is justice.
Oh,
It's unjust to ask a woman to compete with a man because there are natural differences.
Yeah.
Got it? So those who say men and women are equality when it comes to Olympics, they really have to discriminate.
No, I was seeing this one picture with equality and justice, and there was like a short person and a tall person. They were both trying to see over a fence. And then equality means both of them get the same height, like the same step to stand on. So mm-hmm. The short person can't see anything, but the tall person can. But then justice means that the short person gets the taller step so he can see, and
right.
So can the tall person.
What a smart thing. You are saying equality is not always justice.
Yeah.
There is a big difference between equality and justice.
Yeah.
Sometimes discrimination is justice. When you discriminate in the Olympics, men teams and women teams, this is injustice. This is justice.
Yeah.
If you let them compete together, this is injustice. All right. Okay. Now your homework is going to include reading about Fear Incorporated. The homework is only about Fear Incorporated this week. This stuff, Sharia stuff, is not part of the homework this week. It's going to be part of the homework what?
Next
week, because we didn't finish.
Next week.